Well, I ask for your prayers again this evening. The Lord bless these moments together with you. I feel like the Lord put on my heart a follow-up to a little burden He gave this morning. Several years ago, my wife and I were passengers in the back seat of a vehicle, and we were riding with friends of ours, and we were on a very busy highway, and I'm a country boy. I'm not used to driving in heavy traffic. At that point, I have driven in places like Baton Rouge, New Orleans, but I'm not driven in big cities where there's heavy traffic much. Made a few loops around Atlanta. I'll be quite honest with you, they can have it. I'd rather go fly over it or have someone else drive me around it. Because my couple of experiences in driving around Atlanta on the bypass on a Sunday morning, I found myself, and I don't normally do anything like this, but I found myself driving 85 miles an hour to stay with the flow of traffic. And I told my children, and my wife, I reached over, the radio was on, I reached over and went click. I turned the radio off, I had both hands on the wheel, and I said, please don't anybody say a word. It's all I can do to keep up with the mirrors and things that are going on around me. I don't know. I just want to get through this. So in this situation we were in, as passengers in the back seat of the vehicle, I had confidence in the driver, good driver. I had no reason to think that there was any problem at all. But then a problem developed. And we saw brake lights in front of us. And the next thing we know, it's boom, 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 boom. About four vehicles involved in little bumper thumps. Well, we got pulled over to the side of the road. And the one who caused the bumper thumps just kept on going. I mean, no disrespect to anyone here in the building today. Little old blue-haired lady driving on the highway. And she was going pretty slow. And she had hit her brakes. Everybody else was going too fast, all right? So when the trooper came to sort things out, the excuses started to be presented of why we had three vehicles pull over on the side of the road and all three of them involved in rear-end bumper thumps. The officer stood there for a minute, listened to everyone tell their story, and then he said, You were driving too fast and following too close. And you were driving too fast and following too close. And you were driving too fast and following too close. And he proceeded to write citations. I couldn't argue with him. Have you ever driven too fast and followed too close? I have. If you don't leave enough space between you and that vehicle in front of you, if something happens, those brake lights come on and you don't have enough space cushion there to make the adjustments that you need to make, you're very likely to have a boop and you're in trouble. I've written on the board responsibility. My aim and my purpose is to make heaven my home. I started out this way, and I hope by the grace of God to finish this course successfully. I realize that my biggest enemy is myself, conquering myself and my flesh. I realize that I am responsible. I'm responsible for those things that I have learned in life. I'm responsible for those things I have been taught. I had a very good English teacher in high school. We had a good English program. I rather expect that my English teacher sometimes cringes at the way I say some things and the way I speak. I hope I don't do her any disservice. But I find myself trying to apply those things that I learned from her when I write things down. And when I do speak, I try to remember those things I was taught and try to speak in a way that hopefully will make sense and hopefully I don't butcher the English language. The word responsibility is a state of being accountable or answerable as to a trust or office or a debt. Now these young people just sang a song, and in that song there was a phrase about Jesus, one who died for us. I want us to remember this evening, just with the help of the Lord, we go through this little burden the Lord's given to me, that He paid a debt I could not pay. He suffered things that I could not suffer. He paid a price that was so high. He was a perfect sacrifice. He was the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. He was the only one, is the only one that our Heavenly Father will accept as expiation for sin. The only one. In the Old Testament, when the commandment was given to Moses, what to do concerning the escape of the death angel that was to pass through the land of Egypt, he said to them, you take a lamb that is without blemish, and you kill that lamb. You take the blood from that lamb and you apply it to your doorposts and over the door of the house. And when the death angel passes through the land, he will pass over your house. That's the meaning of the Passover. There was only one remedy to escape the awful punishment of the death angel. That was the blood of the Passover lamb. That night there were many lambs sacrificed. There were many lambs that shed their blood, and the Israelites, the Hebrews, followed what the Lord said for them to do. They put that blood on their doorpost, and when the death angel passed through the land, thank God, it passed over that place, the land of Goshen. It passed over the Israelite people, and it says there was a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, because there was not a house where there was not one dead. I can't imagine the cry. I can't imagine the anguish to feel not just one, not just in this house, not just in my next door neighbor's house, but in every house there was one dead. I can't imagine being able to find a way to comfort and console someone when I come to knock on your door to give you my news of my loved one who is gone, and you've got the same situation, and the next person has the same situation, and the next person, no comfort. Nowhere could they find comfort, release from the death angel, except through the Passover lamb. I want us to remember this. There is coming another day when there will be judgment. There is coming a day when Jesus Christ will return to this earth. He will be judge. He's not going to set up a kingdom here. He's not going to make allowances here At that point, there will be no more expiation for sin. It will have been accomplished. It will have been done. At that point, for anyone who has not accepted the blood of Jesus, that perfect sacrifice, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover, they will pay the price of the death of not having the blood applied to their lives. Responsibility. I want us to remember this evening that the responsibility that we have of the debt that we could not pay, the definition, a state of being accountable or answerable for a trust, office, or a debt. Whether you and I want to accept it or not tonight, folks, we are responsible for the blood of Jesus. And I say that because every one of us have sinned. You may say to me, but preacher, I have not sinned. I have to differ with you. You were born with a nature inside of you that had the ability to commit the most heinous of sins. That seed is there. I pray that everyone in this room, in this building this evening, has been forgiven of your sins. I pray that everyone in this building this evening has accepted the atonement that Christ made for us. Whether you have accepted it or whether you have not accepted it, you are responsible for a debt that was paid in your stead. There always has been and always will be a church of God. It's a church that belongs to Him. He delivered it to us. It's not just this group. He brought salvation to all of humanity. And whosoever will can be saved. Whoever will accept that offering of God's plan of salvation, you can be saved and be a part of God's beautiful church. Thank the Lord. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14, we'll read just a moment here. The words of the Master. John chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you can't understand it all. You'll not be able to comprehend. If I unloaded my mind to you, you would not be able to comprehend all that I have to say. And I believe in these chapters here in John 15, 16, 17, the Lord was pouring out. This is His last hours. And I believe He was pouring out everything that He could to them. Everything He thought that they could embrace, that their minds could understand. He was doing everything He could. You may have heard me say this before, but I've thought sometimes, and I've thought about it in reading these chapters in the book of John. If I knew that I only had a few hours left in my life, if I knew that window was coming swiftly to a close. See, we don't have that luxury of knowing exactly when we're going to leave this world. Jesus knew that His hour was about to come. And He felt the pressure of that hour because He loved His disciples. The Scripture tells us He loved them to the end. He loved them. He wanted to impart as much as He could of Himself, of His Father, to them. And I thought, how would I feel? How would I feel as a father if I knew I only had a few hours? And I wanted to talk to my family. I wanted to talk to my children. What would I say? What would be the first thing that I'd want to share with them? What would be the things that I would feel would be so important to impart to them? Jesus was feeling that with those who were near Him. He said, I have so many things. I have so many things that I'd like to share with you. But there's no way you could bear it all now. The depth of it. You couldn't take it. He said, but how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He was speaking of the precious Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The things that you and I have today, the things that you understand about God, the things that you have been able to ascertain, the things that you have been able to comprehend about God, they come because there has been revealed truth. They come because God, through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through His messengers, through whatever means He chooses to use, has revealed to you and to me a portion of Himself that He knows that we can accept, that we can understand, and He wants us to embrace. And when He does that, folks, I want us to realize that when the Lord God of heaven condescends to give something to you and me through revelation, that's how we understand the things of God. It's through revelation. It's revealed to us. We become responsible for it. When the Lord opens up the windows of heaven and through His precious Holy Spirit, working with the Spirit that He has placed in man, the ability to understand and to receive and comprehend, He enlightens your mind, you then become responsible. I said this morning, I spoke to us about immature discipleship. And I want us to understand that there is a place where we are not completely ripe. We're not completely whole. We're not completely ready to be harvested, if you will. However, we do not have an excuse to stand before Almighty and try to plead ignorance whenever we have been instructed, when we have heard, and we have had revealed to us precious truth from our Heavenly Father. When you're driving down the highway, and you see a yellow sign, diamond-shaped sign, and it has inside, in that sign, the speed limit on the highway you're driving is 70. You're driving along at 70 miles an hour and you come across a diamond-shaped, yellow diamond-shaped sign. Inside of that sign is a white sign with an arrow pointing up that says 55. You know what that means. That means ahead, your speed is to be reduced to 55. When we see that sign, we can choose to ignore it. I can choose to pretend it's not there. I can pass right on by it. You might see a sign that says, fines doubled, speeding fines doubled in work zones when workers are present. You pass right on by that, you see that sign, and the blue lights come on. The officer pulls you over. Sir, I didn't see that sign. He could take you back to where that sign was and show it to you. He's not likely to do that. Because we are responsible for those things that we could know or should have known. That's important, folks. It's important for us to know that when we sit, when we have opportunity to sit under the sound of the gospel messages going forth, when we have opportunity to sit in camp meetings, worship services, Bible studies, whatever they may be, someone giving a testimony, I am present there. If I am in that situation, in that place, and something is presented to me, and it is something that the Lord sees that I need, and my ears click, and I understand what is being said, I become responsible. I have responsibility for that. People will change. Times, opinions will change. God's church will never change. It was established and set up by Him. It's His. It belongs to Him. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. There are some areas that sets the Church of God apart from other religious organizations. And I've tried to be careful here and not just sound exclusive, but there are things, folks, that the Lord wants us to understand as children of the Highest that need to be incorporated in our lives when God Himself in heaven condescends to deal with us pitiful human beings through His Holy Spirit and impart to us knowledge, conviction, and understanding by revelation. Some of that depends on our depth or level of desire for the truth. But the depth and level of desire for the truth in God's church and trying to understand, Lord, what would You have me to do? How would You have me to live? Those types of things will produce convictions and consecrations, but our depth of conviction and consecration is dependent upon how much we really desire those things. Mankind that really desires to have as much of God in his heart as he can have, God will give him everything that he can handle. God will give him everything that he is able to understand, and he will help him to know those things in his life. I am the beneficiary of those who have gone before me, who have presented to me and taught me things that I have found to be wholesome and have values and principles that I have found and incorporated into my life, and I found they work. I will never tell you that I've always done everything right. I will never tell you that, as I said this morning, that I haven't found my hand slipping from the Lord's hand. I'll never tell you that Christ turned me loose. If I am turned loose, it's because I have made a choice and decision to let my hand slip from His grasp. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in those kinds of places where I have felt the pressures of whatever it may be in life that we're dealing with, where I have felt my hand slipping from the Lord's hand. Not Him turning loose, but just being honest with you. Just being straight up front and honest with you. Life has some twists and turns in it. Unexpected, unanticipated things that'll drive us to our knees and to our face before the Lord. And if we're willing to go to that place of our quiet closet, if we're willing to go to that place where we get down low before Him, we find that He is willing to meet us in our desperate situation. He may not change everything. The circumstances around you may not make any difference. There may be no change whatsoever in it, but you know that He is with you and He will give you grace and He will give you courage to be able to make the next step. Thank the Lord. Some of the things that God's people have chosen to incorporate in their lives, and through light and understanding and revelation of God by His Holy Spirit, that separate true Christians from nominal Christians. Free from sin, living holy. No double marriage. Taking the place of conscientious objector rather than taking up arms. Those are things that come from convictions. They come from revelation. They come from individuals getting down before the Lord and desiring to have that walk with Him. And when the Lord gives those things, then we have to accept responsibility for the knowledge and understanding He has given. Modesty of dress. Women wearing the dresses and skirts. Men wearing the pants. Deuteronomy speaks of that. It clearly says, woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. That's pretty clear. It's the Word of God. And He wants us to incorporate those things in our lives. Divine physical healing. Being able to put my physical body on the altar before my Lord is something that comes through deep trust, faith, conviction, and revelation from God on high. of who He really is, who He actually is. It's one thing. Brother Clifford Wilson had a comment that I thought was so good, and I'd repeat it here. He said, it's one thing to hear with your ears, but it's quite another to perceive with your heart. You see, if I hear you instruct me, if I listen to what you say, and I might get head knowledge of the things that you can tell me. I might have head knowledge understanding of the things that you would present to me. And when I do have head knowledge of it, I have some level of responsibility. But I have to accept full responsibility. Brother Clifford said it's another thing to perceive with the heart. When the Lord puts it in my heart, and I have understanding that it's not anymore just a knowledge that I have in my head, it is now in my heart, that I understand that Jesus died for me. I understand that He was a perfect sacrifice, unblemished. I understand that He was the fulfillment of the Passover lamb that was offered in the land of Egypt. I understand that His blood is the expiation for my sin. I understand that the only way that I can escape damnation of hell is to have the blood of Jesus over my life. When I understand that, then I have to accept responsibility for that. If I don't accept responsibility for that, folks, I put myself in jeopardy. I'm responsible. I can try to run and duck and hide and do squirm and wiggle any way that I can to try to get away and around that. But if I know, and I expect that everyone in this building this evening has been taught that Jesus Christ hung on a cross of Calvary and gave His life so you could be saved from your sins. And what I have found is that is such a fundamental, elementary precept of the gospel message that it's not hard to understand. There are some other things that are more difficult to grasp. There are other things that takes a lot more faith to be able to do. There are other things that takes a lot more convincing and conviction. I have to be willing to follow on with the Lord to have understanding of some of these other things and to be willing to incorporate them in my life. But it's a simple, fundamental, elementary truth of the gospel that Christ died so I could be saved. And I'm responsible for that. There is no way that if I have heard that message, that I'm going to stand before God and say, I didn't see the sign. I will not be able to stand before Him and say, I didn't know that that's how it worked. When I understand that what God did was made that complete sacrifice for me, I become responsible for it. I'd like to turn to the book of Luke now. Chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Jesus is setting the table here for reckless and careless practices in people's lives. He's saying to you what is going to happen if you are reckless and careless. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken. I'll tell you, folks, there are those who persecute God's children. There are those who make light of the things that God's children try to incorporate in their lives. There are those who make light of those things. When a man comes before his God, when a man comes before his God and lays his all on the altar before his God, that's some of the most precious things that a human being can do before his Maker. We do not well to make light of someone who is making honest effort to try to serve the Lord. We do not well to try to poke holes in their convictions. We do not well to try to make them feel as though they are less than and silly and ignorant and stupid for following such a thing. Because a man that has God in his heart and wants all of God that he can get will do things that separate him from this world. So the servant who says, "My Lord delays his coming," begins to, with disregard, treat those who are his servants ill. And eat, drink, be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come. Remember that. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. What the Master is telling us here, folks, is that if you could know or should have known, if you did know or could have known. I remember sitting in a courtroom one time, and I remember the judge sitting in the black robe, and I remember an individual pleading a case before the judge. And the judge, when the individual got through pleading their case, the judge wrapped their gavel and said, "But you could know, or you did know, or you could have known what the laws were." Folks, I'm not going to stand here and say to you that there is no way to plead ignorance before God. Because there are some things, I believe, that we just don't understand. We don't comprehend. But let's be careful how much weight we put on that excuse. I'll just use this setting this evening as an example. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming out to this service tonight. It's God's business what He wants to impart to you by His Spirit. I don't know if there's anyone in this community. I do not know if there's anyone who has made the conscious decision that I am not going to put myself in that audience because I don't want to be responsible for what is being presented. I will say to you that if that's my conscious thought and my reason for not being there is because I don't want to be responsible for what is being presented, I believe in my heart that the judge of all the earth is going to look down and say, "But you could know, you did know, or you could have known. I've had an opportunity for you, and you made conscious decision to remove yourself, not allow yourself to be put in that place." Folks, it's a serious thing to deal with the God who is all, everything that we do is naked and open before Him. Everything. The thoughts and the intents of the heart, everything about us, He knows. In some ways, that's a very scary thought, and in some ways, that's a very comforting thought. I'm glad He knows. I'm glad He knows. But it does cause me to check myself when I know that my God, who is omniscient, omnipotent, knows every thought and intent of my heart and the things that motivate me to do the things that I do or say. That is a very serious place to be.
that causes me to think of the responsibility I have before Him, and it causes me to check myself about the words that proceed from my mouth. It causes me to check myself when I am contemplating or invited to go somewhere. It causes me to check myself and say, I think I would rather not take the risk.
A little farther down here, Luke 12:51. Jesus says these words. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay. Whoop. What? You mean you didn't come to bring peace on earth? I thought there's a song that says, I thought the angels said peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Stay with me. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wait a minute. That sounds like turmoil. It sounds like chaos. The reason Jesus spoke these words is He wanted us to understand, I'm not come to cause family problems. But what I am come is to tell you that there is a plan of salvation. I came to bring you a hope. I came to bring you an opportunity. I came to present to you and introduce to you the message of the gospel that will save a man from his sins. Folks, every one of us in this building tonight knows that if you will live right, and if you will live holy, and if you will try to be righteous in your soul before God, you will be at variance with this world. You will be at variance with this world. The Scripture tells us no man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You just cannot serve God and mammon. Those are the words of our Master. No man can serve two masters. If I am going to choose one, I will be at variance with the other. If I choose to find my way, if I choose the way of disregarding God's Word and His plan, then I find myself at variance with those who do. Now, I don't want to be in a place to argue with you. I don't want to be in a place where we have chaos with one another. But what I do find is this. The words of Jesus are very true. I have to be willing to run for my life, even if it means in my own household. And I don't want anyone to feel, parents, I don't want you to feel I'm trying to sow seeds of disrespect and rebellion in your children. But I want to tell you, children, young people, I want to tell you this. I don't know all of your situations. I don't know everything that goes on in your home environment. I don't know those things. But I do know this, that a young person who wants to give their heart wholly to the Lord can find themselves in a place where there are things going on in the home where their parents live that makes them feel uncomfortable. I know that that can happen. I want you to understand, the Scripture says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There is a place where you must have respect. But I want you to know, there is a place, and you may not be able to physically remove yourself from those things that are against you doing what you feel God wants you to do. But you can have it in your heart. Been there? You can have it in your heart. You can have that separation in your heart. And it doesn't mean you don't love your parents. It doesn't mean you don't love them and that they don't love you. It means that there is a difference of approach here. It means there's a difference of philosophy. There's a difference of ideas. There's a difference of who's first in my life. And that can be a very difficult thing for young people to have to deal with. That's why I said this morning, my heart goes out to you.
And I know that there are places where, that you're immature in your discipleship and you don't have full understanding, and it's awkward sometimes to be able to go through those places. And you don't even know sometimes how to communicate them, and maybe you don't have anyone in your household that you can really communicate them to. But I want you to know, there is one that you can sue to that will hear your cry and will see your tears when your pillow is wet. There is one. It doesn't mean that I don't love mom and dad anymore. It doesn't mean that I don't want to do right. It doesn't mean that I don't want to obey them. I had just recently, Sister Gladys Cassio passed away down home in our congregation. She'd been saved for many, many years. And she had some difficult decisions that she had to make early in her life. She made some mistakes. And she found herself in some places that hurt, deeply hurt her, and it, her family didn't understand, and she was trying to do the right things, and she wrote a book. Some of you may have seen this book. The title of the book, and it really touched my heart when I looked at the title of her book again, and I was asking the Lord about the service, how to work with the service. And I looked at that little book. I didn't have it in my little library. I looked online, and it says, "The One I Love Most." I'll tell you, folks, that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. Because if I find that place in my experience with the Lord where the one I love most is the one that I have to put first in my life, no matter what else, Lord, I must have You in my life. That causes there to be, as Jesus said, 3 against 2, 2 against 3, because the one I love most is the one I must give my heart and allegiance to, the one I love most. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34. Again, the words of the Master. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Jesus didn't come to set me at variance with you. He didn't come to make me argumentative with you. He didn't come to make me have a clash or a conflict with you. What He came was to present to me an opportunity for a clean heart and a clean soul. And by the revelation of God through His precious Holy Spirit, I began that process of making a greater separation between myself and the things of this world. And as the Lord begins to deal with me, and as He shares with you, and He shares with me, and He imparts to us, He reveals to us, through the power of revelation, folks, we become responsible. And when we become responsible for that, we have no excuse. We're going to stand before one who will have the last say. We're going to stand before one who will be as that trooper that day when we had that accident. But she stopped too fast. She threw on her brakes and it caused us to have a bumper bump 3 cars deep. You were driving too fast and following too close. You were driving too fast and following too close. And you were driving too fast and following too close. What's the response going to be? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. When it comes to that place where we stand before the august majesty of God, all the layers will be peeled away. I will have no argument to make. When the man came into that wedding feast, and at the door of the entrance to that wedding feast, there was someone standing there to hand every man a wedding garment. There was one that pushed by that offering of a wedding garment and made himself a part of that group, or so he thought. Until the one came in that was putting on the feast and said, "Wait just a minute. Why does this man not have on a wedding garment? Do you not think that we're going to stand out like a sore thumb? There will be no excuse that we can make before our God at that final judgment day." I pray. I said to you at the beginning, I've made this my course in life. I hope to finish it with victory. I hope to be able to come to the end with all of the things that the Lord has shown me in my life. I hope to be able to meet Him in peace. I hope to be able to hear Him say, "Well done." I'll say this to you. Sometimes I think, in my own mind, that if I hear the Lord say those words, "Well done," that I'm going to, in my mind, this is me thinking, that flash over my life, all the mistakes I made, all the times that I thought I understood and I didn't understand, all the times that I was trying to do right and I made a foolish blunder, the times that I made a fool of myself. Our only hope is when we find ourselves in those places to not quit, but to go back to our Lord and retrace our steps if we need to. Go back to Him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to be that way. Will You please have mercy on my soul?" That's my only hope, folks, is to be able to stand before Him at the end and hear Him say, "Well done." And if I hear those words, I believe in my own mind, this is my fanciful thinking, that I am going to fall at my Lord and Master's feet and say, "Thank You for the mercy that You have shown to me." Because I believe He has a way to allow us to see those things and then allow us to see His love and His mercy and how His blood was covering all those things. I thank God for what He has done for you and for me, for His plan of salvation. I want to act and handle it responsibly, to accept the debt that He paid that I couldn't pay, and to realize that I have an obligation. I want to do my part. You pray for me. Amen.